All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glen Arbor Community Church. Let's come on, file in as normally we do. And we're going to talk about Jesus being our true friend today. And sometimes we may not think about that. Think about someone right now that you think of. Who's my closest friend? Who is someone? Who is someone that you really care about? Who is someone that you trust? And just think about that as we pray. We're going to learn about Jesus, and we've been learning about Him and His many attributes. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for how You are our true friend, and how much You care about us, how much You've gone before us, and how much You've done for us. We praise You, Lord, and ask that You would show us today. Help us to worship You in spirit and truth, not holding anything back. Let's do it as a congregation, Lord. Help us to do it as a congregation. Help us to be united in worshiping You this morning. And we thank You so much that You're in our presence. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Which is our children's program, which meets here on Wednesday nights. And so Wednesday from 7 to 8:30, we're here with kindergartners all the way through middle school. So we want to get the word out, and we're actually going to do a little knocking on doors at some of the apartment complexes around town. If you're not from West Chicago, the town is about 50% Hispanic, and I have someone who's a translator who's going to go with us today. So if you can help us at 12:30, if you're interested in helping us out, please meet Mike in the fellowship hall, and we're going to go out and do that today to invite kids to engage on Wednesdays. Things that are spiritually true. So, anyway, if you can join us for that, that would be great. There are other announcements in our bulletin. The teen group schedule, which meets here on Saturdays, is in your bulletin. I'm not going to read those. We have several things coming up for the month of September. Just wanted to highlight those. And my last announcement is about giving. I know sometimes we feel like giving is an obligation and something we're supposed to do. And if we think of giving that way, you're missing part of what giving is supposed to be. Giving is worship. It's an act of worship, honoring God. You know, I am friends with the chief of police in town, and he pulled up in front of the building Friday, I think it was, and you see this police car pull up, and the first thought is the windows face the street. All of us think, oh no, police car, we're all getting parking tickets. But he came in, and he didn't give us parking tickets, thankfully. He helped us, actually, and took care of some things, and I go, wow, I was just touched that he cared about us and helped us resolve some other issues, and we talked. I go, here's an authority who cares about us. He wasn't here just to lay down the law. He cares about us. Think about God. God is not here to issue tickets in your life. God cares about you. Giving is a way to show God, to worship God. So if you think about it, God loves a cheerful giver. That's what giving is about. I'm not here to push you. I'm here to promote that concept. If you feel comfortable honoring God and how He's blessed you, that's what giving is about. So the ushers are going to come forward and take our offering. If you prefer to give electronically, there's a way to do that in the bulletin, the information is there. Thank you for coming here today.
All right. Welcome again to Glen Arbor Community Church. I'm Greg Stanger. I'm one of the pastors here, also the introducer of our topic today, this morning. And we're continuing our series on encountering Jesus. And when you think of encountering, like a person, you may think, oh, hey, how's it going? Is that really encountering someone? Or do you think, you know, you ever walk by someone and you want to acknowledge their existence? So what do guys do? What do we do? What do we when we go past each other, get a little, like that, right? It's just, it's a little nod. It's not like, I want to be your friend, but I don't, I want to say, you're cool, you know, because we're in the same hallway, or whatever it is. So that's not really an encounter, right? So when, let's say, when you first heard about Jesus, or when you first maybe accepted him as your Savior, I would call that an encounter. Changed your life. I know for me, at Michigan State University, where I go Spartans, received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I had heard about Jesus. I knew kind of what he was about, but I really hadn't encountered him. And this whole series is about that, encountering Jesus, and but in more than just one way, maybe in ways that you haven't thought of before. So in this particular, we're going through the series, you can see it here, and these are color-coded for some changes we've made, but you'll see we've already talked about Jesus as a teacher, and most even other religions consider him a good teacher. But prophet, you know, we've maybe never thought of it. Well, Jesus as a prophet. Well, we learned last week from Mike that, yeah, he's a prophet. He was specifically called the prophet, a prophet in the Old Testament. That would be indication of his coming. And then today we're going over him as a friend. And you'll see there's others. We have other speakers a little bit later, both this month and next month. So you can see what is coming in those aspects. So thinking about Jesus as a friend, let me ask you some questions, and I want you to just think about these. So when you use the term, or if I use the word true friend, and I'm going to use that throughout this teaching, because the term friend has kind of lost its meaning. It's like, you know, you can friend somebody on Facebook, and it's really become such a light word to what I think the intent of the meaning of what it was used in the scripture we're going to use today. So I'm going to use the term true friend. True friend, if I add that part, that adds a little bit more strength to it, a lot more strength to it. What do you think of? I'm not asking you to answer here, but what do you think of when you think of true friend? What do you think of when you think of Jesus being your true friend? Hold that for a second. How would you feel if you knew that Jesus considers you his true friend? If Jesus is your true friend, does that change how you relate to him? And let me ask this last one again. If Jesus is your true friend, does it change how you relate to him or how you might think of him? Jesus is God. He's prophet. He's teacher. He's a healer. We're going to learn about how he's Savior. He's God. He's triumphant. He's king. And so being, when we think about being a friend with someone like that, it might conjure up like, whoa, you're too big for me. You know, I have some buddies or friends, but I don't know if that I could be have a true friendship relationship with someone like that. And that, I think that may be true for a lot of people. He's someone that's far off. He's too spiritual for me. I'm just me, you know. I, you know, don't know how he could like me or love me. Let's talk about what maybe true friendship is in relation to Jesus. We're going to look at various different things in relation to that. True friendship involves sacrifice. True friendship involves commitment. True friendship involves trust. And true friendship involves love. We're going to go each of those areas. And as we're going through them, think about, is there anything, even as I was going through this topic, I was going, why can't I accept you, Lord Jesus? Is there any area I can't accept you as my true friend? And it was not because I thought, it was always came down to, it's because I don't think I'm good enough to be your friend. Not because I think you're not good enough for me, but I'm not good enough for you. Maybe you might feel the same way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you consider us your true friend. You called us that. And I ask that even now, as we're talking about this subject, as we listen, as we read scripture about it, that you would speak specifically to us about this topic. We want to have a relationship with you. We want to have a deep relationship with you. And we ask that today, even today, that could be go a little deeper, if not a lot deeper. We praise you and thank you that you're with us even now, and you call us your true friend. In your name we pray. Amen. If you, either electronically or in your pews, we have some Bibles, and if you could turn to John 15:12, I'll have it on the screen, but I want to, and just leave it open there, because we're going to refer back to this section often. This is John chapter 15, we're starting in verse 12. You might have heard this verse before. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." And we'll go over this a little bit later, but notice that it begins and ends with the same statement, that I command you to love one another. The term friend here, as you see in this verse, is the Greek word is philos, and it's more, it means loved or dear or friendly. But specifically, it's much stronger than other Greek words, which I couldn't pronounce and I'm not going to go in. As opposed to, it's not the word it you would use for comrade or partner or companion or buddy. It's not the same kind of word. It's very strong, almost like a friendship to the point of family member, almost to brother or sister. And that's the Greek word that's in this passage right here. Philos, loved or dear. I call you loved and dear. True friend. So, one of the things that he starts off with, he says, I command you that you love one another just as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? Well, one of the areas is in sacrifice. And he says in that passage, he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. In another passage, it talks about, where it says, who would even dare to die, one might die for even for a good man. Jesus talks about this continual idea of sacrifice as part of relationship. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Irrelevant of our condition, irrelevant of how we acted towards him, irrelevant of what we said or did or were like or what we accomplished or didn't accomplish, he died for us in all our ugliness. In everything that we truly are, he still did this for us. There was sacrifice. In fact, there was the verse. There it is again. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love cannot exist. Jesus demonstrated his friendship toward us, his true friendship, by dying for us on the cross. That's one of the things we celebrate. That's what brings us together. That's why we're a congregation. Why, though? Why do that? Why do it if he didn't care? Why do it if he just wanted, well, I just want, you know, just people to be holy and do good things and stop hurting each other? Why do that? Why go to the cross for the likes of you and me? We were sinners, right? We may not feel ourselves worthy of eternal life, and that is true. We're not worthy of eternal life. But he died for us anyway, that we might be acceptable for eternal life. This is someone who really you really care for. So think about it yourself. Would you die? Think of someone that you really care for right now. And think about that person. It could be a friend or a family member, whatever you want it to be. And I was thinking about this in relation to, I'll bring up a work at an engineering firm. And one of the things we're discussing is quality the same as perfection? And that's an interesting debate. So I don't think it is. Quality is a subjective term, right? So in some ways, perfection. Unless it's against some sort of standard, right? And for God, perfection is perfection. He sets the standard. But in everyday life, think about that person that you really care for. Would you change your relationship towards them if they were more perfect? Is that what you really want? Is a more perfect grandchild, a more perfect child, a more perfect spouse, a more perfect friend? Maybe you wouldn't be with them if they were more perfect. I don't think that's necessarily what we want. Jesus didn't pick us because we were more perfect, because we were better. He picked us exactly where we were at. So the next question is, would you die or sacrifice yourself for that person you care about, just the way they are? Or would they have to do something more to get to that point in your life? Let's see if I have this verse. Yes, I do. This is from the Message Bible. I like the way it was said. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. We were held hostage to our sin, and he paid the penalty we deserve and freed us. And still he calls us true friend, even those that maybe don't even we just say thanks for the salvation and then go off and do our thing. What might this look like? And I think it's a very safe assumption that we have no one from World War I here that's in our midst. This is a story from that. This is a true story. It says, during an attack, one of the men was critically wounded in a field filled with barbed wire, obstacles and so on, and he was unable to crawl back to his foxhole. The entire area was under a withering enemy crossfire, and it was suicidal to try to reach him. Yet his friend decided to try. Before he could get out on his own, out of his own trench, his sergeant yanked him back inside and ordered him not to go. It's too late. You can't do him any good, and you'll only get yourself killed. A few minutes later, the officer turned his back, and instantly the man had gone after his friend who was out there. A few minutes later, he staggered back, mortally wounded, with his friend now dead in his arms. The sergeant was both angry and deeply moved. He said, "What a waste," he blurted out. "He's dead, and you're dying. It just wasn't worth it." With almost his last breath, the dying man said, "Oh, yes, it was, Sarge. When I got to him, the only thing he said was, 'I knew you'd come, Jim.'" That's what a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, not just for good times. So, now that we've talked about that, sacrifice is a part of true friendship, true love. He says, go and do the same. You want to be a part of that relationship. Be a part of that. You want to be his, you want to be, follow in his footsteps. True friendship, he says, go and do the same. Go and be a true friend to others as he is to you. Do you have a true friend in your life that is always there in time of need? Think about that. Do you have a friend that is going through a tough time right now? and in need of support. One of the things that happened this morning, so I know a lot of times we think of our own family as our real close friends, or we're very loyal to our family because of this same feeling. This morning, for example, my wife Linda flew out to Napa, California. Her father is in the hospital. He's got pneumonia. And so she was talking about, well, should I go? Shouldn't I go? I really want to see my father, but maybe he'll be okay, maybe he won't. But I really just want to be there. And I said, well, then you need to go. I need to go. And be with him. Why do we have that feeling? It's not practical. It's not, how important is it? It's expensive to find a Napa. It's difficult. It takes up time. We've got to worry about who's taking the kids where and all that. But it's important because of what feels inside. This is the same, that same feeling is where Jesus even more so feels about us specifically, and he went to the cross to prove it. You do the same. You do the same. And I know many of you have come up beside a friend or someone in need and done that very same thing, and I have observed that. And it says, do it even more. Do you think, in your relationship with Jesus, that sacrificial part, getting a little closer, would mean two things? Sacrificing yourself for others, but also allowing yourself to get closer to him because of his sacrifice. Next part of this is commitment. Friendship with God is based on obedience to the words of God. He says in John 15:14, he says right in that same passage, you are my friends if you do what I command. Let's see if I have that one. Nope. So that was in the, if you're looking at that passage again that we started with, he says, if you do what I command. True friendship involves commitment. Here's the verse I was thinking of. I'm going to read a little bit before this. This is in Matthew 12:46. This is where Jesus is preaching and his family comes out outside the building. While he is still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. That's interesting. So Jesus will only be at my friend if I do what he says. We're really back to that same thing. He just wants us to be automatons doing whatever he says. Is that what really is talking about? Have you ever had a friend that continues to make the same mistakes and comes to you after they've messed it up again to have you rescued? Maybe you have been that friend. If you finally stop rescuing them, are you no longer their friend? No. I wouldn't think so. Maybe you're helping them in that situation. Are they treating you as a friend? Maybe not. You are a recourse or a resource by which they might continue in their poor choices. This is a similar situation. When we walk with him in obedience, we show our commitment to him as a true friend because we show our trust and respect to him and our desire to give our life for him. That's relationship. Some relationships are abusive. We can be abusive to Jesus, right? We can be abusive to others. It's a commitment from both sides, just like marriage. That's what true friendship. True friendship is not mutually exclusive. It works both ways. Some children grow up to be great friends with their parents, right? Some do not. But that was the same people that originally oppressed them and told them to brush their teeth, go to bed on time. How could they be friends with someone that's so oppressive? Because they're looking out for their best. That is really love. It is not oppression, right? We wouldn't say that. Jesus was and is committed to us. So let us all be committed to him. How do we do that? By being committed to showing true friendship to others as he commanded. Let's see if I think I have this verse up. This is from Matthew 25:34. And this is where the king, or this is a parable of the king, but this is really Jesus saying this. This is at the end times, and he says, "Then the king, in his parable, will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, you to least of them, you did it to me.'" That is who he calls true friends. And he says, even calls them brothers of mine. See, for to actually obey, one of the things that is somewhat hard to remember is, in order to visit someone that is sick, there has to be a sick person. In order to visit someone in prison, there has to be a prisoner. Someone has to bear, has to be that person that is in trouble, right? And you might have friends, or you might have brothers and sisters in Christ or in your family that are in these conditions. And Jesus is saying true friendship or true relationship, and true relationship with me is, this is what I care about. This is what I really want for you, and I want for them. This is relationship. This is true friendship. This is something that will give you so much more than just living for yourself, following, being a famous person, or being a rich person. He says, this is what true friendship really is. And sometimes we might feel, I can't be committed to this. I've got too much other stuff to do. I can't be committed to Jesus because I have so much other that's in my way. Or I can't be committed to Jesus because I'm not good enough. I can't fit his mold. He's too good for me. I can never do it. I'm too frightened. I'm not trained. I'm not eloquent. I'm not good enough in some way. And that's bogus. He doesn't say here, oh, and you did it because you were trained, or you had the correct classes, or you were able to get it together. You had the proper certificates. There's no certificate here. It's just whatever's right here. It's how you commit to what he asks you to do. That is true friendship with him. Another part of any relationship, everyone would agree, is trust. He says in that same passage, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, philos. For everything that I learned from my Father, I made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." True friendship involves trust. We also trust him with our very life, right? Both here, right? Because we're spending our time being involved in fellowship. We're spending our time being involved in Awana, being involved in ministry, being involved in other people's lives that take up our take up time that we could spend elsewhere, but we give it to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because we trust Him. We trust what He said. We trust that it's eternal. It's trust that it means something for our lives. We trust Him in many, many ways. And this is part of that true friendship. What's something that He has trusted with us? He says, I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, and because I know that fruit will remain. I've given this task to you. What is that task that He's given to us? And it's right there, over there, on that banner that's behind the light, over the world. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Oh, I'm with you always. I like what the Message says. Also, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet near and far in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you. That is very much taking something that's very important to Jesus and giving it to us to go and do. That is a great trusting thing to do. The true friendship is about great trust. I knew you would come, Jim. He has entrusted us with His message, His gospel, to take it to all the world. He has entrusted us. Think about someone that you trust very, you know, just like, I know that they would do this for me, or I know that they will be there. I know that where their heart is. And to be entrusted with that is quite an honor for someone to say that to you. Say, I trust you implicitly with this. So He trusts us. But do we trust Him? Can you have true friendship without trust? I would say no. The question you have to ask yourself is this. Looking deep, deep down, do we trust Jesus in everything? And I'd say, I can speak for myself, no. Not everything, not deep down, not absolutely every part of my life. That's where I need Him to come in as a true friend and open that little bit thing next, that's next. That little bit more, I turn over to Him. And this is a hard thing. It is a hard thing. It is a very hard thing. Are we still trusting and knowing that He is God? Do we convey this to others when we share our faith? Or do we just complain about that coworker? Do we convey our trust in our true friend Jesus when we talk about Him? Do we take everything we are, everything we dream and hope for, and lay that before Him and say, it is yours? Do we really, really believe? I'm sure you're familiar with this hymn. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I'm just going to read the first verse. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's why it's called this. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a privilege. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And the rest of the verses are very similar. Is there, and I'm going to take a moment now, we're going to pray in a few seconds. And is there something really burdening you right now that is you can't trust Him with? Maybe that you haven't turned over to Him, or maybe you haven't, you're like, I can't, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can turn over my finances to the Lord. I don't know if I can turn over that fight I had. My spouse. I don't know if I can turn over my relationship with my children right now. Whatever it is, let's just pause and just pray, Lord Jesus, quietly to you, and then I'll continue to finish up. And just to clarify, what I'm asking for is think about that thing you laid before. Lord, we do these things. We live right before you at the cross, Lord. And I ask that today you would show us, each one of us, whatever the thing was. You're in control of that. I know that the Lord can take care of those, whatever that is, because he loves me. And that's the last area of friendship. True friendship involves love. And at the beginning, at the end of this section that we're looking at, he says, "This is my command, love one another." It's at the front and the back. He commands us to love one another. Actually, this command appears multiple times throughout the New Testament. This follows everything else we talked about. In regard to this area, and I'm not going to expand too much into love itself, but what sacrifice can we give to him who sacrificed for us? Love one another. What commitment can I show to him who has so committed to me? Love one another. What makes me trustworthy and shows that I can trust him? Love one another. Oh, you're getting it. What shows that I love him more than my own life? Love one another. What binds my true friendship and shows it to the world that he is real? Love one another. This is again stated in John 13, 34 through 35. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, and that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In this is his commandment, your true friend's command, your king and Lord. Make it real to the world. I want to leave you with these questions, and I'm going to leave these up even while the music team is going, and then flip it off and they change. But it's these questions, and you can write them down if you wish. You don't have to. But these are for you to just ponder. In what areas of your life do you need to demonstrate your true friendship with Christ, or what that you feel that way? Is there an area that you cannot trust Jesus in? If you think Jesus is your true friend, why not? If you don't think Jesus is your true friend, why not, given all he has done for you? Why can't you let him? Do you have a friend that is going through a tough time and in need of support that you can reach to? And this ends with a Proverbs 18:24. Man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a true friend who sticks closer than the brother. And that's Jesus Christ, your true friend. Let's pray, and then we'll have the music team. Lord, we thank you so much for your true friendship. Lord Jesus, thank you that you committed to us, you trust us, that you sacrificed for us, and you love us. We ask, Lord, that by loving one another, by being an example to this world, by giving those things that we have in our heart, we would show that. We embrace that, Lord. We don't have to be good enough to accept that. We don't have to be good enough to do it. You are part of that. You accept us just the way we are. Thank you so much.